Welcome. It's the Long Coat Mafia, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Long Coat Mafia podcast. It is I, the show's main host and frontman, the Reverend Godfather. And this week, we have a couple reviews for you, some updates on Captain Marvel, some updates on Battle Angel Alita, but I'm going to save that stuff, that aggravation towards the end of the show, or the last little bits to talk about, because I have some reviews to talk about. I say that because since the start of the year, we had a couple of deep dives that we had to get into, plus we had our 200th episode. So, the reviews I want to get out of the way is mostly gaming reviews, because over the past month, I got three brand new games through digitally, not physically, which means I managed to download them through the Xbox One Marketplace. And those games were, one, Final Fantasy IX, and the second one was Crackdown 3, and the third one was Kingdom Hearts 3. And granted, none of this is in any particular order. Let me start. I know I should have been getting back into Red Dead Redemption and the beauty of the game and everything else, but I got busy and these games came out and show work and wanting to stream more on our channel on Mixer, which, by the way, is mixer.com/LCMP. And the LCMP is capitalized. And I should be announcing when I do stream, but sometimes it's random. But when I'm on Mixer, I'm streaming mostly Borderlands because it's just an easy game. I could spend an hour and a half or half hour to play, but I digress. Let's get into the reviews. Like I said, I picked up three games. Let's start with Final Fantasy IX. This is just a enhanced version of the game that I think Square Enix put out. I think they'll be putting out Final Fantasy VII as well, because I guess with some popularity with the PlayStation Classic, even though that in upon itself has slowly declining in price. But to go back to Final Fantasy IX, it's just a kind of an updated release, a kind of a polished release. There are some things you can't really do, like change the name of the characters to what you would like them to be. Like if you want the main character to be Fuzzy-Headed Tail Person, you can't do that. You gotta stick with the main names, which is not a big deal. The thing is, it's a mostly silent game, which means they have their cutscenes, but it's all dialogue, and it's not that it's a problem or something that I've gotten used to. I've definitely gotten used to over the years, but I'd rather have a strategy guide with me, and I would like to pick one up through either Amazon or eBay or one of the many retro gaming shops that are in town or in the surrounding area, so I have a better idea of where all the stuff is. Now, granted, I've played this game through the completion, to completion, when I first had it back when the PlayStation 1 or the PS1 or the PS Classic, for that matter, was still relevant. But I had a strategy guide to help me find all the little details. I'll like that again. And it'll help me stream it way better than looking at my phone or a laptop to figure out, I missed this or I missed that. And it could be an interesting game to stream because In It Upon Itself has a kind of a card game type mini game in it that's not really relevant, meaning you could go up to an NPC and challenge them to a card game, and it's pretty fun. I enjoyed it. I fiddled with the on my personal Xbox One account the game, and I kind of enjoyed it. I want to get back into it again. I might start streaming it as well, or putting it into the lineup between Borderlands and Crackdown 3, and I'll let you know why I will be streaming Crackdown 3 more so, and I'm not streaming ever. I will not stream ever Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'll get to that in a moment because I want to go kind of in order. But I just would rather have something on hand so I'm not missing something physical, so I'm not missing anything. And hopefully it'll hold up. I do want to get into it. It was $20. So for all you cheap bastards out there that have an Xbox One or one of the Xbox One family of consoles, pick it up. It's a cheap game, and I'll get into why I like cheap games in a moment and my game recommendations in a moment. But to continue, now, Crackdown 3. Crackdown 3 is not the best looking. By no means is it like a Red Dead Redemption or a Call of Duty or anything like that. It's a time waster. That's all it is. It's not the best game out there. It's not a Doom or anything like that. It's just a fun, basic game. If you want to spend an hour doing parkour and jumping and just having some fun in an open sandbox, that's this basic deal. It's kind of a Red Dead Redemption Lite or a Grand Theft Auto Lite that's more family friendly. That's it. It's something to have fun with, and that's why I want to stream it. Now, it does have a multiplayer aspect. I have not yet been able to get into a multiplayer game since I have owned it. I've tried it, and I'm just sitting around waiting, and that's my problem. I don't know if it's on their end, my end, or I'm not waiting long enough, but I'm having more fun just playing around, jumping around, shooting the bad guys in Crackdown 3. One review I saw about Crackdown 3, it's a game that you could pretty much turn the sound off and listen to a podcast or a book, an audiobook or music or anything like that for that. Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's something you can turn down the volume and just pick up the goals and just go after them, get orbs or increase your level up your character so you can go on. So that's a thing. I'm making it sound like a game that might be a 4 out of 10, but it's not. It's a 6.5 out of 10 easy, but it's a game that anybody can enjoy. You don't really have to put too much emphasis on anything. It's just a fun game to play, and I don't mind playing it at all. That's why I want to put it in my lineup. It's almost as fun as Borderlands. It's not crazy fun, but it's enough that it's streamable, and I hope you guys enjoy it and everything else. So I'm going to work that into my lineup, and I hope you guys and gals that choose to jump into our stream and watch it enjoy it as well. Now, let's get into Kingdom Hearts 2.9. Kingdom Hearts 3. And yes, I almost repeated the joke from last week. And I do suggest, if you want to hear me rant and rave about the controversy about Captain Marvel, please check out last week's episode in regards to it. It's been doing very well. But Kingdom Hearts 3, oh dear God. Dear God, this game hurts. Literally, this game hurts. Here's the thing, folks. I heard great things about Kingdom Hearts 3 and crappy stuff about Crackdown 3. But the thing is, Kingdom Hearts 3 is crappy and Crackdown 3 is kind of good. That's the thing. Kingdom Hearts 3, oh dear God. Dear mother freaking God. Oh, it pisses me off. The style is fine. The programming is fine on it. But dear mother freaking God. I played for 3 hours on it last night. Not because I wanted to. Because I had to. No, because I was forced to. Literally, I was forced to play it. Because, why? Save points. That's the main, one of the things. Save points. And that's three out of other things that are taking precedence in regards to it. And out of that roughly 3 hours of me playing it, because I wanted to give you guys trying a better review on this. And the thing is like, wait a minute, maybe it was just the first level. No, it continues beyond the first level. And what I'm talking about is that when you first start the game, it kind of smacks you in the face every 2 minutes. You're playing Kingdom Hearts 3. Then it kind of tells you Kingdom Hearts 2.9. But to fill all of you in regards to the storyline of the Kingdom Hearts trilogy, I hope me being kind of baffled and making it a sequel or a trilogy is a questionable thing, is because there's like 5 other games prior to it, because that's how they were released, and it's confusing as all heck. Literally, it's 1, 2 plus re-releases that were like 1.5 and 2.5 and Game Boy Advance games to fill in storylines and other stuff. So in order to play these games, you need a PS4 to get the back catalog as a bundle and play all these games. But for one thing is, why do I want to torture myself if I had a PS4 in regards to that? To literally torture myself. If I wanted to torture myself like that, I'd forget Kingdom Hearts Saga, period, and go back to my ex. Literally, I'd probably have more fun and less frustration. But the thing is, after literally almost an hour of cutscenes, you get to play a tutorial that tells you, okay, to attack this person, press X. But that's not the button you're supposed to press. You're supposed to press A on the Xbox One. Wow! And after that tutorial, they give you another 20 to 30 minute cutscene before you're able to play anything. Literally, and you play for 5 minutes, then you're given another cutscene, to give you another cutscene, to give you another cutscene, to play for about 5, maybe 10 minutes, to give you another cutscene. And I figured, this can't be the case. What I played during this time, it was just a fluke. Then I played it last night after our 2-hour stream of playing Borderlands 2, I figured, you know what, I'm going to play Kingdom Hearts 3 for a little while. And the cutscene issue was not a problem. And I decided to at least play the first level, play it out. But no, it was 5 minutes of play and cutscenes. I think I might have played last night for a total of a half an hour out of 3 hours. Roughly 3 hours. I started playing about 2:30. And not 2:30, 12:30, and I didn't stop playing until maybe 3 o'clock, so 2.5 hours. Out of that 2.5 hours was a half an hour of gameplay, and the rest were cutscenes, literally cutscenes. And from what I've heard from other people and going to their reviews, there's some other mini games in this that are better described, or from what I saw, they look better put on mobile apps, like equivalent of a Candy Crush sort of thing. Really? Wow. So I'm not going to torture all of you with Kingdom Hearts gameplay on a Mixer channel, or if I'm able to hook my Xbox One up to Twitch. No, I will not torture all of you with Kingdom Hearts 3, because you'd be spending, if I'm on for two, 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours or more, most of that is going to be cutscenes. If I'm going to spend 3 hours of streaming gameplay, I'd rather be streaming gameplay, whether it be Borderlands, Crackdown, or Final Fantasy, because I could grind leveling up a RPG, or playing Halo the Master Chief Collection, where it's maybe a 5 or 10 minute cutscene and 40 to 50 minutes of actual gameplay. That's what I want to give to you guys and gals in regards to streaming. That's not with this. Literally, it's scary. Not really scary. It's not. It's maybe it keeps little kids entertained and the fanboys and fangirls entertained, but not me. I was so frustrated that I wasn't actually playing a game. I was watching a cutscene, a movie. The equivalent would be is me going, okay, I'm going to stream or play Borderlands for maybe about 10 minutes, stop, watch the extended version of the first Lord of the Rings movie, then play another 5 minutes of Borderlands, then watch the extended version of the second Lord of the Rings movie, then play another 5 minutes of Borderlands, then watch the third extended version of the final Lord of the Rings movie. That's the equivalent of playing Kingdom Hearts 3. So if you ever want to play Kingdom Hearts 3 and you got a game on your console already in and ready to play, that's what you can do. Play 5 minutes of that game, stop, watch a movie, then go back to play that game for 5 minutes, then watch another movie, then go back to that game and play another 5 minutes. Because you're in that case, you're playing Kingdom Hearts 3. It might make more sense, especially if you're watching The Matrix, for all I care. Don't pick it up. Don't play it unless you're a diehard Kingdom Hearts fan. I did not like it. I'm not thrilled about the game. The only reason why I picked it up is because I was a fan of the original game. And another thing I hated about playing Kingdom Hearts 3 was I don't remember if it was in the original Kingdom Hearts game, but they had this aspect of you don't just travel to the next level or the next part. They give you a ship that you have to literally, it's not automatic. It's not like in Destiny that, I'm going to Mars. And in essence, they show your character getting beamed onto your ship and you see your ship for maybe about a minute. Then once the next part of the game is ready to load, you travel to that automatically, in essence, to that level. No, you have to pilot that ship to the next level. And during this piloting, where the controls suck all to hell, literally, it's sluggish. Let me put it like this. Folks, if you're able to play the classic Star Fox, the ship moves better in that than the ship in Kingdom Hearts 3. I take that back. The Warthogs in any Halo game, take your pick, move better than the ship in this game. Any character walking moves quicker than this ship in this game. Literally, it's sluggish. The camera, you have to, in order to fly the ship correctly, you have to adjust the camera angle so you're able to know you're going the right way. Because as soon as you get in the ship and travel, it's top down. You can't tell you're going the right way. So you have to adjust the camera so you're, in essence, you're behind the ship. And by that time, you're getting hit with enemies that are in this quote-unquote space, and you have to fight them, or you could fight them again at any time to upgrade your ship. Now, as much as I don't like Destiny, I'd rather play Destiny than this game, because at least I know what I'm getting into and the problems with it, and it plays better. It's a streamable game, for at least in my eyes. And with it, to use that comparison, it's like they could have just taken a page out of Destiny's book and just done what they do. Okay, you get to have different ships in Kingdom Hearts 3, different plans for ships. Okay, you can find them in the levels in the game. Literally, you can find them in the levels in the game, and just, boom, you got a new ship. Turn it in. And they also include this aspect of, you have a quote-unquote, yes, I'm making air quotes, in an audio freaking podcast. You have a smart, what can be considered a smartphone, that you can take photos. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You could take photos of Easter eggs and hidden Mickeys in the game. Now, they spent what seemingly was like 2 minutes on this phone and what it is, and that you could take photos with it and communicate with folks back at what would be the main headquarters and all that. 2 minutes. 2 to 5 minutes. And to give you context, South Park, the Fractured Butthole game. They spent 30 seconds. Yeah, you got a smartphone. Here's a Kunogram. Take selfies with you and other people and post it up to Kunogram and earn extra stuff for your character. Not even 30 seconds. But Square, whoever put out Kingdom Hearts 3, had to spend 5 minutes for a storyline that they had to include about taking a photograph. South Park spent 30 seconds on it. That's it. You didn't need, oh, here's a phone, here's the app, and boom, go. That's it. That's it. And I think it was a screen pop-up, too, that saying that if you get so many and do so much, you get extra bonuses. It was just a little pop-up thing that you got. No, they had to spend 2 minutes on the storyline to set up the camera aspect of the phone, then give you a pop-up saying, look for hidden Mickeys. And like I said, about 2.5 to 3 hours of this crap just to find a save point and finally quit. Because between the start, when I started playing, and when I finished, there was only two freaking save points. Because it kind of tricked. No, it was probably a few more than that, but it kind of tricks you. Like, oh, there's maybe another. The cutscenes will go away. There's short. No, it's, yeah, you'll get a 5 minute cutscene to go to another 5 minute cutscene, which goes to another 10 minute cutscene, another 30 minute cutscene, and you're like, oh dear God, when will I start playing the game? I could get up, walk away, make something to snack on, come back. There will still be a cutscene. Ah, oh, I'd rather play another game. But I can't play another game because the cutscene is not done yet, which when it is done, it will go to another cutscene. Yes, I keep bringing it up because it's annoying. Literally annoying. To use Borderlands as an example, when they're after the cutscene or if they're trying to explain what you have to do next, you could walk away, do something in-game, like get weapons or fill your health. And it'll change from you talking to the characters to like you're listening over a walkie-talkie or a radio. That's perfect. Or like with Halo, it's over a radio. Or Crackdown, it's over a radio. The cutscenes are like not even 30 seconds long in Crackdown 3. And by the way, they just released, I think earlier this week, Crackdown 3. Not Crackdown, sorry. Crackdown 2 as backwards compatible, and they made it free for a couple of days, which is great, which is perfect for all you cheap bastards out there that can't really afford new games. And I say that lovingly because I am a cheap bastard. To kind of move on to kind of more gaming news, I know not, a lot of you out there are not really gamers, but if you choose to start a console, whatever you choose, that is great that you chose a console. There's plenty of great games that are out there that if you have the funds to get the brand new latest and greatest game and you listen to our reviews or me ranting about games and that weighs your opinion. But let me just tell you this. If you have the limited funds in regards to games, go to a GameStop, go to a retro gaming place, because sometimes they have they sell used games, meaning like to give them a shout out, Back to the Media and Panhandle. Back to the Media is in Winchester, Virginia, and Panhandle Games is here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. If you have a shop like this, they're great to go to, and they're a local business. When you support local businesses, that's always a great thing. And with, like, Panhandle, I can't vouch for Back to the Media, but with Panhandle Games, they have not only the retro PlayStation and Xbox games and Xbox 360 games, but they have the original stuff, too, and the Nintendo stuff. So, but what I'm getting at is they tend to sell used PS4 games and used Xbox One games. So, that's always a plus, they're about the same price as, if not lower, than GameStop. Now, for those of you who don't like GameStop, but what I'm getting at is if you go there, let's say you pick up a used Xbox One or a used PS4 for a reasonable price, I recommend, let's say, if you're getting either system, the games that I recommend getting is something like the Borderlands Handsome Jack Collection, and the BioShock Remastered Mix, or the Dead Island Remastered Disc Set, or the Action Replay type games. It's 30th anniversary game pack for Rare Games. That's the company. Rare is the company that used to make games, and I think they still do. It's a 30th anniversary disc. I don't have it with me to get the actual name of what it's called, but it's a Rare. I think they called it Rare Replay, and it's the 30th anniversary, and it has like 30 games attached to it, ranging from the original Battletoads and their Banjo-Kazooie and all those types of games that they put out for their company on one disc, and you get all 30, like close to 30 games. So that's something you could spend $20 on a game like that if you don't have that much money and you have plenty of games to play on. Not to mention games like, or should say systems like Xbox Live and PS4, PlayStation Network have, if you're a member of their paid subscription plan, like Xbox Live Gold or PlayStation Plus, you get so many games per month free. I think on Xbox Live, it's like about 4 games, but they're not mainstream games, meaning you're not going to get a Halo or a Call of Duty, or I should say the rarity of getting a Call of Duty or a Halo or Borderlands or a Gears of War is really rare. But on the PS Net side of things, you get a lot of AAA stuff. You might see a Gears of War, not a Gears of War, God of War, or a AAA title like a Borderlands every now and again. But that's another thing. And plus, Xbox, when they tend to release a brand new game for that's backwards compatible, sometimes they release the game for free for a few days if you so want it, like Crackdown 2. So that gives you the chance to have something to play on the system while you're saving up for a brand new game. And if you have a Xbox One console, I do recommend also picking up the Master Chief Collection. There's been a lot of updates to it, and you're getting four games for the price of one. So if, for those of you not really into first-person shooters, but still, you're getting four games. You're getting Halo, the first Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, and Halo 4. Let's say if you get it for $20 at used, that's great. That's awesome. But I do recommend spending the extra $10 to get ODST as the DLC for the Master Chief Collection, which means you're getting five games for, let's say, if you spend $30 total, that's like $6 a game. You can't go wrong. Plus, you get all the DLC for those series, which means every multiplayer map for all those games you get. The same thing goes with with the Handsome Jack collection for Borderlands. You don't just get Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel. You get all the DLC for both those games. All the DLC, the extra characters, the level caps, everything. All you have to do is get keys, which are free. All you have to do is follow online, like Borderlands, through Facebook and Twitter. Borderlands just sends out codes for keys for those who don't have or are a member of their Shift membership program. And it's free to sign up, and you get, like I said, it's worth the money if you're getting the games used and cheap. And to kind of continue to talk about gaming a little bit, thank God I didn't say this was going to be a short episode. An article was put out on comicbook.com saying Sony isn't, and it was titled, comicbook.com tends to have clickbaity titles. The title was, Sony isn't sure if it can do PS4 crossplay, says developer. And basically, it came up as Sony was like, said, that being said, I think Sony is hesitant. Yeah, Sony is, for those out there, Sony over the past year or so has legitimately flip-flopped on saying, well, we're going to do crossplay. Yeah, we're going to do crossplay then. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. But the way it looks like, says one of the people that was quoted, says, I think once, if it all works together, it will become the norm, and that's really interesting for Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. Basically, Sony was saying, well, it's hard. You know, hard to do crossplay. Meanwhile, Nintendo is pretty much like, "Hey, we'll do crossplay. Come on, we want to do crossplay." And Microsoft is pretty much helping Nintendo do crossplay. They're teaming up, and articles have come out saying Microsoft is being more open to like the iOS and Android and hooking up, getting PC gaming into this crossplay fold. And here's PlayStation saying, no, we don't, you know, we kind of don't want to do that. Which one side might say that Sony wants to see if it's going to work, to see if it's a fad. But the thing is, it might not be a fad. Just think that if you get a game like Borderlands 3, if it comes out, being able to play with your friends that are strictly PC gamers, game to play with your friends on the current generation of Nintendo. It could be the Switch. It could be the next iteration of whatever Nintendo console that's out there. So therefore, you're playing this game, brand new Borderlands 3 or whatever, the Call of Duty, Fortnite, Apex, Minecraft, whatever, Call of Duty, with your friends on all these systems, and yet Sony is sitting on their hands, being the last man standing, saying, no, we won't. We won't. We don't want to do this. We legitimately don't want to do this. But if it becomes the norm, but Nintendo, Microsoft, and gaming PCs are all set and ready to go with this, then Sony, next generation of the consoles, whatever they might be, they're going to be out in the cold. They got to scramble to get caught up with everybody else, and that could hurt them in the console wars. Like, same way that with, like, the Xbox One saying, everything's going to be DRM, you can't share games, and that severely hurt them out of the gate with the Xbox One. That's why this generation, Xbox is losing the console war, and Sony is winning it. So, next year, it could actually flip-flop because of this situation. But that's not the only thing. That I think we've kind of covered the gaming for that in regards to with it. It says, discover new instant game you want to play with the game. Yeah, it says you could do stuff and everything else, but there's other things I want to talk about to continue on other geeky stuff. Now, what I want to talk about is it's kind of been rumored right now because last week as well, it was kind of released through Stephen Amell and amongst others that a lot of the superhero shows after next season might be starting to get canceled. Or at least that's the popular rumor. Because, let me go into that for a second. Earlier this week or late last week, Stephen Amell, who plays Oliver Queen / the Green Arrow on the CW, came out to say that, well, next season is going to be only 10 episodes long, and it's going to be the last season of Arrow. Now, that being said, after that, it came out that Supergirl, after next season, might also be canceled. It has also come out to light that because of ratings being so low, Black Lightning after next season might also be canceled for everything. This is not kind of new. This has been kind of rumored for the past couple of months or least year or so, because some have been saying that Supergirl, due to its, especially the start of the season, lack of ratings, the ratings have been really, really bad over the past couple of months, that they might be canceled after this season. Turns out they were renewed for next season. So, who knows, because of the ratings and how they've been are for the past season, the next season might actually be the last for a lot of the CW superhero shows. Or because Supergirl's been out after already three seasons, maybe four, Flash has been out for, again, 4 or 5 years. The Arrow's been out 7 years. And there might be superhero fatigue when it comes to the TV shows. And so, where the movies are kind of still plowing their way along. Now, that being said, I won't really know about everything because, well, I don't know that information right now. Now, what I do want to talk about is the continuing controversy of Alita Battle Angel and Captain Marvel. These two movies, when Captain Marvel came out and there was this big hoopla behind it and the controversy, many people were saying, go see if it's still available in your area. Alita Battle Angel, because it'll be the better movie, there's less controversy, yada, yada, yada. But during this time, for the first maybe week or two of Alita being out, nothing was said about Alita, nothing, you know, no real promotion about it, except for the people that were going against Captain Marvel were saying, go see Alita. But what did come out on the other side, because there was no hate prior to the release or seemingly after the release, but after about a week or so, when it was starting to get closer to Captain Marvel coming out, some people, or seemingly when it was getting closer to Captain Marvel coming out, a lot of detractors were coming out against Alita Battle Angel, saying that she was too thin, too attractive, too feminine in some cases, and which, I'm laughing about it, because they said the same thing about Wonder Woman when Wonder Woman came out, like last year or the year before, when was that, 2017 to early 2018, but still, really, these are the same people that, you know, it's like they don't understand someone who is constantly, yes, there are right now, there have been thicker superheroes out there, but for the most part, these are folks that, not to mention, these are machines. Alita is a cyborg. She could look however she wants. It's kind of hard to, it's just a stupid argument nonetheless. But that being said, I don't want to get into it anymore. We covered Alita to death in our 200th episode. I do recommend going back to that. If you haven't heard it yet, go to find it, listen to it. It was a great episode with Sasha, the Princess of Darkness. We talked about anime and live, going from anime, animation films to live action films. Go check it out. But over the past week, there has been more detractors coming out in regards to Captain Marvel. The controversy kind of continues, and there has been, again, as I stated last week, that there has been, it wasn't just one person saying something. What happens is, in regards to stuff like this, it's like a stone in a calm pool of water. There's ripple effects all across. Somebody could say the sky is blue, and somebody's going to take that and just run with it. What about clouds? What about this? What about night? Basically, again, I don't want to go into it too much because I covered it in last week's episode, but an article came out within the past week that there has been more people saying that, the article that came out was that it was Disney now has confirmed, quote unquote confirmed, to have manipulated Captain Marvel perception. And we kind of covered it in the last week's episode with Rotten Tomatoes and everything else, that Disney probably has used their mighty control to keep things good. There have been people who have wrote to Rotten Tomatoes saying, why are you letting one half star, one star, and two star reviews to stay up on this movie, and this movie? But when it comes to Captain Marvel, why isn't the one star, the half star, and the two star reviews that are honest reviews being staying up or allowed to stay up? Now, one of the other things that Rotten Tomatoes has stated, that when it's going to take effect at some point, in order to leave any review onto their site for any movie, you have to prove you've seen the movie in some way. I foresee this going downhill in regards to Hey, Tommy, lend me, or hey, Jane, lend me your ticket, snapping the ticket, and then saying, hey, here's proof that I went to see the movie, and therefore they're going to write their review anyway. But this is a response of what I've been hearing last or heard last week of people saying, I'm not going to see the movie, but I'm going to leave them a one-star or half-star review because I wasn't able to tell them I didn't want to see the movie. They took that feature away from me in regards to this, so I'm going to leave this half-star, one-star review. But according to this article, there was he stated that it's been suspected for weeks that Disney and other companies have intentionally manipulated online perception. They say that there was a report by USA Today confirming the studio's executives that they were prepared for the combined organized negativity. Some people have stated that there was no such USA Today article or study or report. Kind of hard to see, but it sounds kind of true because even in some of the circles I followed, there was no one saying, hey, this was a USA Today article about Captain America, that they were prepared for this negativity. But there were confirmed reports, and the article does go into the aspect of YouTube did alter the algorithm to kind of put on top reviews by CNN, Fox News, high-end national people on their site for YouTube, and the lower channels, the maybe Geeks and Gamers or Joe Blow's or Jane Blow's Geek Channel was kind of way down below those mainstream channels. So, if Nerdist did a review of Captain Marvel, that was high up. If CNN did Screen Rant, that was high up. Or WhatCulture.com or HuffPost, or there's a site called Mary Sue. There was a review. They were top results, whereas a channel like ours or Sasha, the Princess of Darkness, if she did a review on it, went to see it and did a review, that it would be way, way down the list. And that, like I said, that was confirmed. And again, it was mentioned that, again, what we said last week, that Rotten Tomatoes removed the want to see from the site, but this was due to Captain Marvel. The audience, many people have come out, you know, again, the article doesn't say it, but many people come out saying that, hey, that their reviews of the movie, they went to see it, they wanted to put their review on it, but it never showed up. And there's also, again, the article kind of quotes in regards to the sci-fi podcast about doing reviews just to keep their credentials with the site, which we have the clip in our last week's episode about the controversy. Now, the quoted aspect in this article from Cosmic Book News says that it also became known that a movie reviewer for NBC Universal sci-fi site lied about doing reviews, stating that they had to spin things positively or else they wouldn't get access to exclusives, which included early access to movies and celebrity interviews. I think the summary is a little bit different than what was actually quoted. Again, you're free to download our last week's episode and listen to it if you haven't done so already. That's about it. Nothing else is showing up on this site. Let's see if there's anything that we want to cover. Yes, yes, yes. I almost forgot, folks. There was the James Gunn fiasco come to light recently. That's right. James Gunn, who I think a few months ago was fired. It was maybe mid-2018. Was fired from Disney and Guardians of the Galaxy 3 for tweets he made like in 2009 or something like that, 2007, 2009, several thousand tweets that he made that were very bad. I don't remember what they were, just that they were bad tweets that he made. And earlier, like this week, like Wednesday or Thursday, it was announced that he is being rehired. Let me change that, because I should say he was allegedly rehired back to Disney, because there have been, depending on who you read, he was either A, rehired to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3, or he was never fired in the first place back in 2018. Now, again, back in 2018, he was, let's say, allegedly fired because why? Well, the tweets. And why would he be allegedly fired? Is because during this time, the whole Disney trying to take over Fox problem was happening, or the business of Disney trying to buy out Fox was, in essence, going through the motions. So Disney had to kind of, quote unquote, on paper, fire, if this report is true, saying that he was fired yet not fired, was to have them come out and say he was fired to kind of quash the reports of, or I should say the outrage of people wanting him fired, so the whole deal with Fox could go through. Now, it probably wouldn't be the first time that a business has done this, but, well, it's kind of hard to say. If you guys and gals know of something similar to this happening, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or visit one of our social media sites and send us a message and let us know. Now, during one of the articles that I saw in regards to this, I wouldn't say saw, but it was kind of reported. I saw a snippet of this article. No, it's not there. I'm looking in the wrong section because we posted it up on our Facebook page. Let's bring it up. I'm sorry, folks. This was earlier than, well, the Captain Marvel thing came out after the fact. Wow, that was something. Now, to kind of continue, while bringing up the information in regards to James Gunn, here it is. One of the articles that was brought to my attention, in a way, was through Lloyd Kaufman, who is the main person behind Troma Films. The screenshot he posted up to his Instagram was, the title of the article was, Disney reinstates director James Gunn for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. The snippet that he, again, in the screenshot says, the social media messages were indefensible, but the filmmaker never did anything but blame himself for poor judgment displayed at a time when he was emerging from the Troma Film Factory and attempting to be a provocateur. Mispronouncing that word. There were no reports that Gunn ever engaged in the behavior he lampooned, unlike the defensive posture exhibited by Kevin Hart that led him to skip hosting the Oscars. Pretty much what this article is saying is that James Gunn pretty much tossed Troma Films under the bus for his actions. And Lloyd Kaufman pretty much was pissed. His quote underneath this screenshot was, I was the very first to stand up for James Gunn, who is a brilliant, generous saint. But now, of course, it's all Troma team's fault. Suggest Dateline, the running dog of the elites. Fuck you, Dead Loon. That's in a quote. Yes, I'm going to have to, because of that, I'm going to have to leave the explicit tag up on this episode. But as always, we get distracted. We forget to include stuff. Because the trailer for Endgame, the second trailer for Endgame dropped this past week. And oh my god, yes, I'll probably see this. I'll probably be excited to see what happens. There have been people that has been outraged over Endgame trailer and the Endgame poster because one of the people was not included in the title. There are so many celebrities in this movie, high-end celebrities, you can't include everybody. That Disney, there was outrage, I forgot who it was, I didn't share it. They forgot to put her in the list of people on top of the page. There's so much room, so little room that they didn't either forgot or they just didn't have room to put her name up there that I guess they had to Photoshop her name in there just so to make people happy. But one of the bigger things that came out of this was people who were not digging the Carol Danvers' new look in the Avengers Endgame trailer. What they were pissed about was that in the trailer, Captain Marvel had makeup on. That's why they were pissed. Literally, they were pissed because Captain Marvel had makeup on. Like, they don't realize that any filmmaker or any actor or actress, whether they're looking quote-unquote natural or not, has makeup on. So there's not a glare from the light shining off their forehead. They're always wearing makeup. If you're watching something on TV and they look natural, guess what? They're wearing makeup. Of some way, somehow, they are wearing makeup. But that's what they were pissed about. They were pissed about the fact that she was wearing makeup. Like, a woman can't... yeah, granted, I'm a guy. It's like, oh, a woman is not allowed to wear makeup. They gotta be natural. Oh, she was natural looking in Marvel Endgame. So she can't wear lipstick and makeup now. What if she wants to? What if she wants to? Let her be. Let her be, for crying out loud. But the most fun I saw in regards to this photo or this screenshot of Captain Marvel with straight hair and makeup on was from the actress who plays White Canary from Legends of Tomorrow. And it was a comical post of her saying, like, I got confused. I thought this was me for a moment. When did I start an Endgame? It was just a funny little cheerful post. And it had like a picture of White Canary all dolled as her, or I should say, the actress as White Canary on one side and Captain Marvel from Endgame on the other. So it was just a humorous post by the actress from Legends of Tomorrow. I can't blame her. Something like that is just kind of a fun post. I don't blame her for that. But there has been other stuff. I need to get Big Candy on the show again at some point. I might have him briefly on next week's episode because, well, why is that? Because it looks like more than likely we'll be at 4-State as ticket holders again like we did last year, about this time last year, which is not bad. We had a decent episode. We might be hanging around the Bigfoot booth, or to say Matt Burns, not just Matt Burns, but Mark Byrne, Mark, the guy who made Bigfoot, the film that I was part of. I'll probably be hanging out at his booth for a little while, helping promote the movie, probably getting some interviews, and who knows, I'll be there. I'll probably be buying a DVD that I'm actually in. And I'll probably watch the whole film to let all of you guys and gals know what I think of the movie I appeared in. And when it finally comes on video on demand, I'll probably be telling all of you out there to go rent it, buy it, what have you. But I want to go see it. Always pick it up from Matt. And Matt, if you're out there listening to this, or and you made it to this far, you're more than welcome to be at our booth when we do the library pop culture show, which will be in June. We got to get on the library in regards to that and have them promote the show better, because them just having a Facebook event about it does not help, because Facebook is pay to win, people. It's pay to win when you're an independent folks like us. And yet the library is not going to pay for to boost posts as it is. It really, really, really sucks. But prior to the fact of us doing the library pop culture show, a week prior to that we'll be in Virginia doing the Bigfoot Convention, the East Coast Bigfoot Researchers Organization convention down in Virginia. That should be a great time. That we're first uncovering a show like that. Like last year, it was the first time we were covering a paranormal, paracon type of show. So it should be great. It should be interesting. It's a one day only type of show. And prior to that, we'll be April 27th. We'll be probably hijacking the Chocolate Festival here in Martinsburg. That should be something to behold, because we got new stuff to help promote the show, which is a banner stand. But again, this weekend will be, at least on Saturday, we will be at Forest State Comic Con for the day. What we will be doing in regards to interviews, we'll at least get a video for all of you. Talking to people there, what they're selling there, and everything else. We won't be buying much. We'll probably stop by a few booths and get, you know, somebody saying howdy. But who knows? We're already past the 1 hour mark. Congratulations. We're standing by at about an hour. That's about it. There's probably more we could get into, but I want to save a lot of stuff for when Big Candy comes back to do an Honest to God Hostful. Yet I'll probably get his reaction from him in regards to Forest State. We might have a friend of the show. It'll be probably her first time at a pop culture show like this. And if she does show up at it, we'll probably get her viewpoint as a first-time con-goer. So that should be an interesting thing. I might commandeer a table or an empty spot and do a person on the street. I'll be decked out in Long Coat Mafia podcast gear. It's the hat we got over the past week or so in regards to helping promote the show on a personal level. That way it's more stuff that shows that we are a podcaster, or at least I'm a podcaster. But for now, that's all the news I want to cover. I'm sure there is more. And since we are kind of covering, recording this on St. Paddy's Day, I hope all of you out there are having, or if not had, a safe St. Paddy's Day. I do know, because I was scrolling past it on Facebook, about Dungeons & Dragons becoming popular. I want to save this. For those of you out there that play Dungeons & Dragons, and you DM, that you're a person that DMs a lot and really likes to DM, whether you're an asshole or not, or you like to be an asshole, please email the show. We want to... I've never played Dungeons & Dragons before. I want to go kind of have you walk me through the aspect of being a dungeon master in Dungeons & Dragons, and what it takes to set up a game, what it takes to building a character. And I would love to have an episode out there that is Dungeons and Dragons for Noobs. That would be the title of it. Dungeons and Dragons for Noobs. So, that would be probably a great episode for all of you, because we're always doing something that is geek-oriented. Since that is it, I'm going to end it here by saying thank all of you for the past 200 plus episodes, especially for the past 3 weeks with maybe more than 3 weeks. It's been more than that, past probably month. 199, 200, 201, and 202. Past month, past 4 weeks were the most awesome numbers I have seen in a while, especially for this year. Thank you so much for getting us this far and showing us love through this milestone of this year. Let's keep it up. I know this is probably a weak sauce episode, but I didn't want it to be a rerun. I want to keep the streak going till the end of March, at least, to make it 2 full years of straight, pure content without having to resort to an old school Electric Eye episode. But that being said, again, thank all of you for listening. This show will be continuing. There's a lot of great stuff that is to come throughout the year. Loads of great stuff. We have come so far. We have a gaming channel. Yes, again, it's on Mixer.com, but it's still a gaming channel. Maybe we'll transfer over to Twitch. I'm told you're able to connect the Xbox One to Twitch, and there's a Twitch app. So there's that, but it's kind of easy to connect to Mixer. We've come so far, even though some of our stats on social media have stayed the same, but we've come so far. We've done so much, and we've hit a lot of milestones over the past 3.5+ years. So, again, thank you, and let's keep it up. I'll try to bring you the best stuff that is out there. I've learned so much, and I want to thank all of you for sticking with the show. And again, that being said, we would love for you to go, if you haven't done so already, go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Hit that like button, and stick around, because we post a lot of new stuff to that our page, and a brief commentary, and there's been live videos I've been putting up trying to increase our video content on Facebook as well as YouTube, but I'm sticking with Facebook right now. We're talking about Facebook. Many commentaries, videos, and everything else on our Facebook account. Yes, Facebook, even though Facebook was down on Thursday, but still, we do post a lot of content and mini commentary on Facebook. We suggest you, if you haven't done so already, heading there and clicking that like button and sticking around. So that way, that's one of the ways you can be alerted to new episodes. If you're not subscribed to us on iTunes or Google or any place else. But that being said, don't forget to, you can also head on over to Twitter. Hit that follow button. You know, follow us there, because we are always, we're a little bit at times more active on Twitter, whether it's retweeting other podcasters that you might enjoy, or are sharing news on Twitter, or talking to other people on Twitter. You hear our conversation. Plus, we are on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is Long Coat Mafia, just like our Twitter handle. It is Long Coat Mafia. So head on over to Instagram. Hit that follow button. You get to see when we go to events like Four State Comic Con. You know, we will have photographs of the show, of cosplayers, tables. We'll be getting a lot of stuff from Four State, and we'll be posting it up to share with you in regards to the event, where we're going, who we've met, and everything else. So there's that. Plus, we post up some goofy memes on Instagram too. So there's that. Follow us there, and let's not forget, our YouTube channel. You'll have to, we don't, because our subscribers is so small right now, we only have like 11 or 12 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So head on over to, you have to search for us on YouTube by hitting that search bar and typing in Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and we come right up, and clicking the channel and clicking that subscribe button, I'd recommend clicking that bell, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But still, click that subscribe button. Not only because we post up videos to there, we post up exclusive videos to our Facebook, to our YouTube channel at times, as well as our Facebook page, which means you might get a different video every now and again on Facebook than you would on YouTube, and vice versa. So it comes in handy subscribing to both. Plus, if you want something to play in the background like this podcast, you're able to do so on our YouTube channel. And speaking about our podcast like this one, if you are a new listener, please, if you want to hear us on the go, we are available on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. I'll say it like that because it might be switching over to Google Play Music. We are also available on Stitcher, Stitcher Radio app, the Spotify app, and the Podbean app, as well as other places where podcasts are found. But personally, I recommend the Podbean app because just in case a program such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts tends to be finicky or doesn't want to work, you have that backup. Besides, with Podbean, I think you are able to go back to our very first podcast and to listen to how far we have come. But if you choose to listen to us on your desktop, you'll also have several options, one of which is iTunes. Yes, you can listen to us on iTunes and subscribe there. But as always, we are also on Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Our shows, if they're greater than 15 minutes, which they usually are, they're posted up to our YouTube channel. And they're on our main site, too, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And I recommend you bookmarking that page because, well, iTunes tends to be very finicky and not download current episodes of podcasts you subscribe to. Because I remember issues of a couple of podcasts I subscribe to not being able to get them because YouTube decided to be a real pain in the ass. So I recommend going to our main page and bookmarking the site just in case. So what else? I did mention our Mixer channel. That seems to be about it. So I'm going to let all of you go for now. I'll see you next week. And by then, we should have a lot more stuff to talk about and show you. Yes, I've been increasing our video content on our YouTube and Facebook page. So stick around, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and hit that subscribe button on either iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher Radio to keep us in the loop and in your inbox. So take care. Have a great weekend. I know we will probably have that. And Big Candy, I'm sure, will be back on the show very shortly because I want to have him on again. And Weber. Weather is getting warmer. That means there's a good chance he'll be kind of in studio more often. And that could be a good thing. If you want to hear more about more Big Candy being on the show, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and let us know. We will read your emails on air. I'm ranting now. So take care. Have a great night. And I'll see all of you, in a way, next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.